Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Pat. We are part of North Coast Food Web, working to build healthy communities in our region through local food and agriculture. Today on Food Talk, we are talking about ways to connect with local food. Joining us is Larkin Stentz of Green Angel Gardens. Welcome, Larkin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And Larkin, you've brought some guests with you, and maybe you can introduce them and you can all tell us a little bit about yourselves.
I'd love to. So on my left is Anthony, and on my right is Zoe. Say hi.
Hi. It's nice to be here. We're from Boston, Massachusetts. Well, we live right outside in Somerville. And we've been best friends for a while and talking about woofing for a long time. And we finally got an opportunity to come out to Washington this summer.
So the term woofing, just to make sure all of our listeners are up to speed with us, what does that mean?
Well, it stands for Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. It used to be Willing Workers on Organic Farms, and they changed the name. So it's a national, actually international organization. You can purchase memberships per country, like for the United States or for Mexico or for Canada or New Zealand or Australia. They all have their own WOOF sites. And then you guys went on and looked around?
Yeah, so you create a profile. I think for the U.S. site, it's like $30 and it lasts a year. And that gives you access to the profiles of all the participating farms in the country. So you can search those by state. I think in other countries, you're able to search by certain features, like do they like yoga? Do they grow this kind of food? Do they raise cattle? But I'm not sure if the United States one does that. And then you kind of write a little bit about yourself on the profile, and then you can connect with different farmers and also read reviews, which is really helpful. Once you've woofed on a farm, you can write a little review about your experience, and you can also rate it as well.
Like Yelp for woofers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, and Larkin, what is it that woofers are doing on your farm?
Oh, let me see. Well, we start in the morning. They help with the morning chores of opening the farm store and feeding the chickens, watering the chickens, and a lot of watering because I do hand watering. I don't have drip irrigation. So sometimes it'll take the two of them probably an hour of just watering there. And then they've helped a tremendous amount in terms of planting. And what else have you guys been doing?
Well, we've got a geodesic dome that we're working on. We're going to be cleaning that, improving that a bit. We've done some planting, working with, we've got a lot of beds we've been working with and circular gardens. We've done plenty.
Yeah. A lot of water.
Your day is full, right?
No, it's, and we also had four classrooms in all of younger kids come in, first and second graders, 2 weeks ago, which was really exciting. So we got to lead them around the farm, help them plant, both in one of our greenhouses and in the circle garden. So that was a really great experience to kind of share what I had actually just learned with people. We had only been there a week, and then we had to tell them everything about the farm, which was really, really a great experience.
So when you, I'm curious about the reason behind, I want to go into this program. Are you aspiring farmers or something about the experience?
Well, I got into a more green lifestyle back in high school. I got a job working for an environmental nonprofit organization that promotes healthy living and sustainability. And I really didn't know anything about it going into it. And then I worked for them for a few years and I just fell in love with it. And then one of our best friends back home went woofing and told us about it and how great it was. And then once she told us about it, I knew it was something I wanted to do ASAP.
Oh, that's
but it
great.
Just finding the time to do it was hard, but we finally just made time to do it.
Yeah, I've been kind of a foodie and really interested in agriculture for a while in high school. And then in college, I got into food systems planning.
Cool.
So, I mean, I don't actively practice it, but I've been learning more about both industrial and organic and local agriculture and kind of what the different forces are behind our food system in the United States. And this was just one facet of it that I really wanted to get involved in.
Much to learn there.
Yeah. Some of the woofers do have a real focus on wanting to go back and, you know, create a farm of their own. The man from South Korea was very interested in doing that. And the young woman from Japan has as well, has started her own little plot now back in Japan.
So you have international people come through, people from all over the world.
Yeah, I've had people all over the world come through. It's been really exciting. People go, why do you do that? I mean, isn't that exhausting? I'm going, yeah, and it's really invigorating, though, because these young people bring such a different viewpoint on the planet than I have, and it's inspiring to be around them.
You know, I want you to back up a little bit, Larkin, and tell people a little bit about your farm, your property, where you're located. I feel like we jumped right into woofing, and where are you woofing? So tell us about Green Angel Gardens.
Well, Green Angel Gardens is a sustainable living center and organic farm. It was mainly an organic farm for the first few years, and then as I began to realize what my role on planet Earth is, it's to help share the ideas that I have about living sustainably on the planet with young people. So when they come to the farm, it's not just to do farming. It's a learning about your role as a crew member of Spaceship Earth and what that can mean. I like to tell people that one of the first things they get when they get there is a pee bucket. And it's interesting, since you guys were here, the United Nations has come out and said that, you know, as a globe, as an Earth, we need to start looking at ways to recycle urine because of the fertilization capacity that it carries and other things. And we have wind turbine, we have solar hot water, we have water catchment. So it's trying to learn all of those balances. Last year, our gray water system backed up, and that taught us all a lot about what goes into your sink.
Yeah.
So now we wash everything in just one little bucket kind of a thing, and then that water gets put out on a tree. So very little goes down the sink anymore, even though we cleaned out the gray water system and everything. It's clean, but unearthing it and seeing what was in the pipes really taught us a lot about what goes out and what we need to do. And we do a lot of composting. So Green Angel Gardens has a farm store that's open every day of the year.
And where is that?
It's in Long Beach on Sandridge Road, 6807 Sandridge Road, just north of Sid Snyder Boulevard in Long Beach. And we also have a CSA. I've had CSAs now for about 6 years, which is community supported agriculture, where people can buy a box of produce a week for anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. I do mine differently than, say, your CSA. Mm-hmm. I don't grow everything. We don't grow everything that goes into the boxes. I buy from Farmer Fred. I buy from Zimmerman's Farm. I buy from Siri and Son to make up what I can't put in there. But it allows me to have the CSA all year long. People only have to invest like $100 for 4 boxes is the minimum that you need to try to get involved with it. And I deliver. Mm-hmm. We deliver in Long Beach. We deliver to Astoria. We deliver to Gerhardt and Seaside. So we're doing
a
lot of
things. So working in partnership with those other farmers, is that also how you stock your farm store? So
yes.
It's yours and
yeah, when you come into the farm store, you'll see a sign that says, produce here is available from Farmer Fred, from Siri and Son, from Zimmerman's.
Yeah.
It also has this beautiful murals now done by the kids. When the kids came, I asked them all if they could make sure that they sent us a picture of their experience, you know, at the farm. And wow, we got them in spades. So we have a whole wall now of all these great drawings that the kids have done, showing their appreciation
How often do you have school kids come through your farm?
Right now, it's just once a year. I would like to do it more often, getting it organized. And one of the things, it's difficult, not difficult, but you really have to back think. You want to have something for them to do. It's like Zoe was saying, you know, it's one thing to do a tour, but kids want to be actively doing something. So we planted potatoes, we planted pole beans. They got to see how to winnow and how to get seeds from Mizuna plants. Last year we did pole beans. They also got to plant
potatoes.
What was the herb, though?
Chervil.
Chervil. Oh, and then the very last thing, we swing around and they get to harvest a carrot. Oh. And that's one of the most positive things for them, to pull something out of the ground and to see a carrot, even though it might be a tiny one.
What a wonderful way to help kids from a very young age have a much better understanding of where our food comes from.
I love it.
It's awesome.
I love
There's
it.
There's something
totally.
Really powerful about pulling a carrot out of the ground for a kid, I think. And I wonder if it's like the bright color. You know, it's so hidden. You have that little green on top, and then when you pull it out, and it's that amazing orange or red or yellow or whatever. There's so many purple.
It's not one of those baby carrots in the bag in the grocery store. What is this thing?
It's a very different experience. So, Larkin, you were telling us earlier about a really cool program that you're, you and some other people in your county are starting to do. And I'd love for you to speak to that because it sounds so exciting.
It's very new. As I said, there was four of us from Pacific County that went and studied at Grub Farm in Olympia.
And is GRUB an acronym for something or just?
Yeah, it is, but I don't know it. Grow your
something, something.
Something beats.
Yeah, but it was an institute, and basically it was a training that we got on how they've been doing what they have been doing for 10 years, which is they start off, and the focus is how to grow young people who are conscious, conscientious, have a sense of responsibility, have a sense of self-respect, have the communication skills necessary to deal with problems and issues, and also be able to give back to the community. So there's three main aspects to it. There's growing, growing the farm, growing self, and growing community. Mm-hmm. And there are different aspects to each one of those. And they usually start in the summer where you give high school kids a job. Now, we may only be talking about 5 or 10 that we'll be able to do in Pacific mm-hmm. County, so it's not a lot. I think they max out at 20 a year. But the ripple effect of these 5 or 10 kids that go back into the community that have these skills, not only of growing food, but communication skills, was just wonderful to hear them talk about their experiences there. And they actually led us in some of the skill-building exercises that we have. How to give alphas and deltas. Alpha is a positive comment and a delta is a negative comment. Mm-hmm. Somebody else said, oh, yeah, it's the sandwich where you make sure you give somebody a good comment and then you nail them and then you give them another good comment so they're sandwiched together, whatever. But it's how to speak from your heart, mm-hmm. how to be authentic and not how just to play a game, but how to be present. That was wonderful. So I really look forward to working with the other people who attended. There was a school teacher named Michael and Lee Knott and myself and Jim Karnofsky was there. And then there was a pastor from South Bend Raymond who attended. So actually there were 5 of us.
Wow. So hopefully you'll be able to get that program started. Well,
maybe by next year.
Yeah. That's so – well, it takes a while to build something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's
a lot of background work.
Of Boys and Girls Clubs. I helped start the Boys and Girls Club there and other organizations. So I know the time it takes to get the groundwork built.
Yeah. The piece of the program that was really resonating for me, because I'm a behaviorist at heart, is something that focuses on building self. I think so little attention is paid to that mm-hmm. in this world. I just think that's really an amazing way to help people learn more about who they are and what amazing gifts they have to offer.
One of the things we did at the very end was they had a lot of the young people there and they were open to questions from us. And one of the questions came out was, what would you tell the school system about what you've learned at Grub? And this one young woman was just perfect. She said, this is what the school system should be doing.
That would be
so
pretty
something
awesome.
Something really powerful there.
That would be really awesome.
So no, go ahead. I keep stepping on Teresa's toes this morning. Anthony, I'm curious, as your woofer experience is coming close to an end, I wonder if you have had time to reflect on, like, what have you gotten from this? What is it you're taking back with you?
Well, it's definitely amazing to see where your food comes from. A lot of people often don't think about that, and it's great to see that. Also, fresh food is amazing. It's really interesting. Like, if you want a salad, you go out and harvest some lettuce. If you want to make eggs, you go check the chicken coop. So it's really great to see where your food actually comes from.
Yeah, and how wonderful it is when you get it right from the source.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What about you, Zoe?
I think that's definitely been really a really great experience, but also kind of the idea of practicing what you preach. I think especially when you're talking about sustainable living, that's something that I've talked about being important a lot when I was in high school, and I've always placed value on it, but I don't think I've ever actually actively lived as sustainably as I could. So even things like using a composting toilet and a pee bucket have really showed me that, you know, if this is something that's important to you, there are many, many ways that you can practice sustainable living.
Today on Food Talk, we're talking with Larkin Stentz from Green Angel Gardens, and he's brought with him two young people who are woofing with him, Richard and Zoe. And maybe like do a little recap of woofing. Tell me again what woofing stands for now.
Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms.
And so it's a program where people sign up and come volunteer on
farms. Yeah, the farm will sign up and put, as Zoe was saying, a profile of the farm, like Green Angel Gardens is on it, and I have photographs. And then I tell people in this profile what we do and what they can expect to do and what are the new projects coming up during this particular year. And then Zoe and Anthony put on a profile so they can email me and say, we're interested in your farm, check out our profile. So I can go to their profile and they have a picture, hopefully, and they can tell me something about them. So it's a way of getting through the first stages of communication. Like tonight I have a Skype session with some people that are looking at coming in August. So we're going to talk. Sometimes it's good to talk on the phone, not just do emails, because there's a lot of vetting that I have to do about people who say they're interested in coming and then don't show up. I've had that happen this next week. I was supposed to have two people show up and one of them just never emailed me back, just disappeared. And the other woman kind of went, well, I'm going to go someplace else for the first week and then I'll keep you posted. So some
That's
are
challenging.
More
yeah.
Diligent, some are more focused on what it is they want to do. I have a new internship program where the young people now pay me to learn intensively for 1 month. And I've got three young women from Michigan who have signed up for that and paid their money, and they're coming in July, so they'll be there the whole month of July.
Cool.
So that's interesting, the internship where people can actually pay and come and have an experience. I'm curious about, from the woofer perspective, I know, Zoe, I think you said there's a $30 application fee. Like, you've got travel costs in getting here, and are those all part of your own expenses to be able to participate in this program?
Yeah, that was definitely one of the hardest parts of the trip, was just making sure that I saved so that we could travel.
Yeah.
Because woofing, other than the $30 membership fee, it's completely free because it's based on a learning exchange with your host. So they teach you what they know and about their farm, and then you get room and board. But you do have to pay for travel expenses.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that discouraged us, I think, from traveling internationally.
I'm
on a student's budget.
Yes.
So just to the other coast, that's pretty...
Yeah.
It's different enough. So Larkin, from your point of view, the farm provides room and board.
Yes.
And so that's, there's a good place to stay, and then all your meals are included.
Yeah, I asked them to put in 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. They get 2 days back-to-back off. And because I want them to have a life as well. I want it to be a nurturing experience to where they're building that self. I know most farms, like I go from 6 in the morning till sometimes 10 at night.
Yeah.
But I don't expect that from the woofers or the interns, because it's that self-reflection, I think, is really important no matter what they do with that time. These guys are great card players. That's what they do with some of their time. The difference between the woofing and the internship is we have daily classes in the internship, and they get books to read and coursework, and then we also visit other farms, so they get to see how other farmers are doing things, and they get...
Is this internship fairly new?
Yeah, this is just my second year.
And this would be more for people that are interested in going into farming.
Yeah, because after 1 month, they'll have the basics of biointensive food production. So any piece of land they get onto, they're going to know what they need to do to get it up and running and what it's going to take. They'll have the basics in wind energy, water catchment, composting, and solar hot water systems. And then they'll have the experience of seeing how other farms have integrated those systems.
That's pretty powerful. That's definitely worth a good month of your time to learn those things up front.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
And so how do people, if they are interested in the intern program, how do people find out about that? How are you
The intern program right now is, I'm trying to remember if I put it on the webpage or not. There's so much to take care of.
I saw it.
I think it's on our webpage, which is greenangelgardening.com. It is on the WOOF site. As part of the profile, I give woofers the opportunity to say you can woof, and we also have an internship that you can apply for if you want.
Wonderful. So we also really love to talk about food and cooking and eating, and sitting in front of us and staring at us and
I
tempting
wish you could
all of
see
us
this.
Has been this amazing loaf of bread that you brought in. And this is something that you have incorporated into your farm work and your CSA and your farm store. So you have Larkin's Loaves. And I wish that all of you out there could...
We are breaking bread as
just
we speak.
Sense the...
So Larkin, how did you get started baking this
so
amazing bread?
I'm not going to eat it, like, right next to the microphone.
I
that's
know.
Gross.
oh, my gosh, so good.
So good.
Yeah. From Joe and Iris of the Blue Scorcher.
Ah, the masters.
They had come over and a couple of years ago during the farmer's market. They were selling okay, but not enough to come over the Long Beach Peninsula. And Joe said, you know, Larkin, nobody's doing the kind of work that we do over here. So we could help teach you. You need to buy this book called The Tartine Book, and then we'll help you, you know, work it from there. Mm-hmm. And so 2 years down the road, I had no idea. It's one thing to be a farmer, and then it's like a baker, too.
I know.
Well, both require
that's
you
getting
get up early.
Really early.
Yeah. But I really love it, and I teach almost all the woofers who come in. They all want to learn how to do a loaf.
What an amazing skill.
Because it's an eight-hour process to do these loaves.
Wow.
Yeah. This isn't, you know, oftentimes people think, bread is bread. And it's so not.
Yeah,
these loaves
really
are
good loaf
so
bread.
Different than bread you might buy in the grocery store.
Yeah.
What is it about the process of baking these this kind of bread?
Okay, first of all, it has my own leaven, which is sort of like the starter that I made myself in my own pantry. It's been alive now for 2 years. And it sits a lot. This is a combination of about 60% all-purpose whole wheat, unbleached, and 40% whole wheat. And we go through a number of processes where you mix it with the leaven, and then it sits for 45 minutes. And then you add a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then it sits. And then you do some turns for half an hour. And after a half an hour, you do a turn. And you do five turns every half hour. And this has got a little bit of rosemary in it, which is sun-dried rosemary that I've made. That a special little blend to it. And then after all those turns, it comes out. You put it into four little balls, and they sit for 45 minutes. And then you look and see how much they've spread out. And if they've spread out too much, you form them into balls, and they sit for another 15 minutes. And then if they haven't, then you do this other kind of a process where you make them into what are called boules. Mm-hmm. You put them into baskets, and then they sit for 2 hours. Now, this loaf is different because it sat all night in the refrigerator. It's called retard rising.
That's how I make my pizza dough.
Yeah. Wow. So, and then I've learned to bake them in 2.5-quart cast iron Dutch ovens. So I can bake 8 at a time in my oven.
Wow.
Instead of having them all out on a, you know, like a pizza dish or something like that, like they do at the Scorcher where you put it in. The Dutch oven provides a really nice atmosphere.
Do you get that kind of steam?
That's what it does. By putting the lid on the Dutch oven, you're actually holding the moisture in for 20 minutes. And then after 20 minutes, you take the lids off and you finish them off.
That's what creates this beautiful crust.
Yeah. So you produce about 8 loaves a day? Or 8 loaves a week?
I can be up to as much as 30 loaves in a week, which is just
that's a lot.
Mind-blowing.
For one guy who's also farming, that's a lot of bread.
Yeah.
Thank God for woofers. Yes.
Wow. And so where is your bread available? How can people buy it?
In the farm store, or you have to sign up for CSA, because as the label says, it's made in an uncertified kitchen kind of a thing, which is like that country kitchen kind of a certification you get.
Yeah.
So I can sell it at my farm store and I can sell it to the CSA, but I can't sell it to a market or anything.
You can't sell it wholesale.
Right.
Direct. So you have to sell it directly to the customer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, it
well lucky CSA customers that are getting a loaf of this bread.
Lucky us, too. I'm pretty excited about this.
I think we could do a whole class on bread or a whole class on cooking in cast iron
pots. I know. Those are amazing. It really is. I know. So how are you feeling about the season so far? I mean, what do you think? How's it going for you?
I just feel really blessed. It's like Zoe and Anthony have been such a wonderful help. I got to go to that conference in Olympia because these guys were willing to, you know, step up and take care of everything. As much as I was a nitpicker towards the lead, oh, don't forget this, and what about that, and don't forget that. I'd call and say, remember to do that.
It's like leaving your baby.
Oh, it was. It's like I almost had an anxiety attack when I was driving out. It's like, but as I got away, I went, oh, wow, this feels great.
So how long were you gone for?
Three days.
Wow.
That must have been pretty exciting for you guys, just a couple weeks training, and then suddenly you're in charge of a farm.
Yeah, it was a little crazy, but I think we managed it well. Larkin really made it very clear what we had to take care of. And we had been doing a lot of kind of the daily work before, so we knew when to water and when to...
What's the craziest thing that happened while he was gone?
Do
we make Larkin cover his ears?
No, this isn't anything bad. It's just a bit funny. We've got 8 chickens and a rooster. And one time when it was time to put them back in the pen, I had no idea where they were. But I went out towards the road, threw some cracked corn, and 8 of them ran out of the bushes, got them into the pen just fine. But then there was one little straggler who was hanging out by the gate, and I would go to open the gate to let him in, and then he would run away. Chickens.
Yeah.
Her. So then I'd chase her to the bamboo, and she'd run back to the gate, and I'd go to the gate to let her in, and she'd run back to the bamboo.
Oh,
and
it
was just
Keystone
back and
comedy.
Forth and back and chickens. Forth and back and forth. I finally got her in after a while, but...
I know, I got to watch this happening while I was cleaning the dishes.
There's a lesson in persistence or something in there, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I know.
That's great.
That's so great. Well, I really want to thank you guys all for coming, and thank you to you, Larkin, and thank you to Anthony. Sorry, I called you Richard earlier, and Zoe, for coming and telling us about this. It sounds like a really great experience, I hope. And people want to learn more about your farm, Larkin, they can go to your website.
Yeah, greenangelgardening.com. And come out and visit. We have tours of the farm.
Wonderful.
If I can give a tour, or there's a self-guided tour you can take, 6807 Sandridge Road, Long Beach. If people want to call, they can call 360-244-0064.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you guys for doing this
so
show.
Much.
I've been so wanting to do this show
thanks.
For so long.
Well, we're so glad to help you be here and get the word out about all the great stuff you're doing.
And fun to share information about woofers.
Yeah,
thanks,
absolutely.
Guys, for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening. And I just want to remind you that starting on June 19th here in Astoria, it's going to be the River People Farmers Market. Now from 3 to 7 every Thursday on 14th between Duane and Exchange. 13th and Duane and Exchange.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.